Today is July 29th. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. I am Brian. I'm deeply grateful to be here with you today. As we approach the 20th July 29th, every day being a 20th year anniversary, as we navigate through the scriptures, so I am grateful to be here for the 20th time navigating this territory, here in this place, we have made a safe oasis for these years. A place to gather no matter where we live, no matter geographically where we are, that we can come together in spirit and in truth and just make it a safe place, because we're here for one reason: to hear what the scriptures say and to allow them to wash into our lives in whatever context we are living right now, whatever our story has led us into. So, glad to be here. Thank you for letting me be here. I need to be here. I need to be here every day. This is my daily bread. This is my daily life. And so, I'm grateful. So let's jump in. Let's take the next step forward. We're continuing our journey in the Old Testament through 2 Chronicles. Today, chapters 24 and 25. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother's name was Zibiah. She was from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada chose two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Sometime later, Joash decided to restore the temple of the Lord. He called together the priests and Levites and said to them, "Go to the towns of Judah and collect the money due annually from all Israel to repair the temple of your God. Do it now." But the Levites did not act at once. Therefore, the king summoned Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said to him, "Why haven't you required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax imposed by Moses, the servant of the Lord, and by the assembly of Israel for the tent of the covenant law?" Now the sons of that wicked woman, Ataliah, had broken into the temple of God and had used even its sacred objects for the Baals. At the king's command, a chest was made and placed outside at the gate of the temple of the Lord. A proclamation was then issued in Judah and Jerusalem that they should bring to the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, had required of Israel in the wilderness. All the officials and all the people brought their contributions gladly, dropping them into the chest until it was full. Whenever the chest was brought in by the Levites to the king's officials, and they saw that there was a large amount of money, the royal secretary and the officer of the chief priest would come and empty the chest and carry it back to its place. They did this regularly and collected a great amount of money. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who carried out the work required for the temple of the Lord. They hired masons and carpenters to restore the Lord's temple, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the temple. The men in charge of the work were diligent, and the repairs progressed under them. They rebuilt the temple of God according to its original design and reinforced it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money to the king and Jehoiada, and with it were made articles for the Lord's temple, articles for the service and for the burnt offerings, and also dishes and other objects of gold and silver. As long as Jehoiada lived, burnt offerings were presented continually in the temple of the Lord. Now Jehoiada was old and full of years, and he died at the age of 130. He was buried with the kings in the city of David because of the good he had done in Israel for God and his temple. After the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and he listened to them. They abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and worshipped Asherah poles and idols. Because of their guilt, God's anger came on Judah and Jerusalem. Although the Lord sent prophets to the people to bring them back to him, and though they testified against them, they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, son of Jehoiada the priest. He stood before the people and said, "This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands? You will not prosper. Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." But they plotted against him, and by order of the king, they stoned him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. King Joash did not remember the kindness Zechariah's father Jehoiada had shown him, but killed his son, who said, as he lay dying, "May the Lord see this and call you to account." At the turn of the year, the army of Aram marched against Joash. It invaded Judah and Jerusalem and killed all the leaders of the people. They sent all the plunder to their king in Damascus. Although the Aramean army had come with only a few men, the Lord delivered into their hands a much larger army. Because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, judgment was executed on Joash. When the Arameans withdrew, they left Joash severely wounded. His officials conspired against him for murdering the son of Jehoiada the priest, and they killed him in his bed. So he died and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Those who conspired against him were Zabad, son of Shimeath, an Ammonite woman, and Jehozabad, son of Shimrith, a Moabite woman. The account of his sons, the many prophecies about him, and the record of the restoration of the temple of God are written in the annotations on the Book of the Kings. And Amaziah, his son, succeeded him as king. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoadan. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. After the kingdom was firmly in his control, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. Yet he did not put their children to death, but acted in accordance with what is written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, "Parents shall not be put to death for their children, nor children be put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin." Amaziah called the people of Judah together and assigned them according to their families, to commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. He then mustered those 20 years old or more and found that there were 300,000 men fit for military service, able to handle the spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 fighting men from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him and said, "Your Majesty, these troops from Israel must not march with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the people of Ephraim. Even if you go and fight courageously in battle, God will overthrow you before the enemy, for God has the power to help or to overthrow." Amaziah asked the man of God, "But what about the 100 talents I paid for these Israelite troops?" The man of God replied, "The Lord can give you much more than that." So Amaziah dismissed the troops who had come to him from Ephraim and sent them home. They were furious with Judah and left for home in a great rage. Amaziah then marshaled his strength and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where he killed 10,000 men of Seir. The army of Judah also captured 10,000 men alive, took them to the top of a cliff, and threw them down so that all were dashed to pieces. Meanwhile, the troops that Amaziah had sent back and had not allowed to take part in the war raided towns belonging to Judah from Samaria to Bet Aron. They killed 3,000 people and carried off great quantities of plunder. When Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought back the gods of the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down to them, and burned sacrifices to them. The anger of the Lord burned against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet to him who said, "Why do you consult this people's gods, which could not save their own people from your hand?" While he was still speaking, the king said to him, "Have we appointed you an advisor to the king? Stop. Why be struck down?" So the prophet stopped, but said, "I know that God has determined to destroy you, because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel." After Amaziah, king of Judah, consulted his advisors, he sent this challenge to Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel. "Come, let us face each other in battle." But Jehoash, king of Israel, replied to Amaziah, king of Judah, "A thistle in Lebanon sent a message to a cedar in Lebanon. Give your daughter to my son in marriage." Then a wild beast in Lebanon came along and trampled the thistle underfoot. You say to yourself that you have defeated Edom, and now you are arrogant and proud. But stay at home. Why ask for trouble and cause your own downfall and that of Judah also?" Amaziah, however, would not listen, for God so worked that he might deliver them into the hands of Jehoash, because they sought the gods of Edom. So Jehoash, king of Israel, attacked. He and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Bet Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by Israel, and every man fled to his home. Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Bet Shemesh. Then Jehoash brought him to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate, a section about 400 cubits long. He took all the gold and silver and all the articles found in the temple of God that had been in the care of Obed-Edom, together with the palace treasures and the hostages, and returned to Samaria. Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, lived for 15 years after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. As for the other events of Amaziah's reign, from beginning to end, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? From the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent men after him to Lachish and killed him there. He was brought back by horse and was buried with his ancestors in the city of Judah. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Psalm 22, 19 through 31. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Proverbs 20:8-10. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Okay, so we're continuing our journey through Paul's kind of masterpiece. Many, maybe even most biblical scholars would consider that to be the book of Romans. So we're continuing this journey, and it's leading us through these different arguments and to these different vistas where we can see the implications of those arguments. He's laid them out and given us this sweeping panorama of our faith that, man, at times it's like, if we listen to what we're saying here, this is incredible. And it should be. But how do we take these things and make them like, how do we actually incorporate them and immerse ourselves in them in a practical way that has any effect actually on our life? That's what Paul is counseling about today, reminding us that first and foremost, the way that this works is counterintuitively that we are to be living sacrifices to God. And that this is true worship. And living from this place allows us to live from a place that can see God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. Good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. We want that, and that's even a famous part of the scriptures. Good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. If we skip the living sacrifice part, though, then we can't see the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God for our lives. But how do you even know if you're doing it right? Like, how do you even know if you're getting it right? That's pretty much where Romans 12 comes in. And so let's just kind of look back, less as like a reading of a narrative and more like just as like let's just imagine some check boxes. Like, let me read some statements that describe postures of heart that would reveal that we are living in to what is offered to us. And just kind of imagine the things that we're just like, yeah, I'm killing it. I do that all the time. I've got that right. And then the things maybe that are like, oh, wow. Like, wow, there's a deficit there. then we get some idea of maybe where the spirit may want to be pulling us to do some work. I mean, like, I've done a ton of therapy in my life. I mean, this is not an easy job. And so I've done like a lot of work. That's what it's called. Like, if you're in mental health work, it's work. Do the work. But there's different ways to do the work. There's different things that need to be approached. There's different ways to understand what's going on. And when one thing kind of, like, maybe you're working on shame, and just kind of working through some of those things, that unpacks maybe places where there's other things going on, regret and codependency, or just, you know, just, I don't want to get into all that. But one thing kind of unlocks another thing that shows you where the work is. Because where the work is where the brokenness is. And the brokenness that is kind of left there stays broken and keeps seeping out poison into your life. And if there's one thing that we learn in the scriptures, it's that. So let's kind of look at what's in Romans 12 here as a list of maybe where the work is. And so let's just do this as a list. Don't think you are better than you really are. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Okay. So if that were like a list of checkboxes, and we can go back and review this in the Bible, or just rewind and listen to this again over and over until we identify the work, because this is what it looks like to be a living sacrifice. And it's also a picture of the posture of heart for a true life in and with God. It's how we are to be in this world. And Paul sums it up with one final don't let evil conquer you, but you conquer evil by doing good. So Father, we invite you into that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your counsel that comes in a practical manner, in a way that we can get our minds around. And the easy thing to do is sort out condemnation to places that we're failing. And I just realize that we're never going to get this right, as if we're trying to obey some new version of a Mosaic law, when that is not the point. The point here in reflection is to see where the work is. So Holy Spirit, come and lead us into the work of sanctification, the work of transformation, the work of aligning our will to your will, as we realize that we are a living sacrifice. That is a posture of heart that pretty well changes the way that we think about everything. And so come, lead us into all truth about ourselves. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, our home base. It is where to get connected and stay connected. When you are there, check out the community section. That is where the prayer wall lives. We talk about it often. It's always on. It's always available. It's not social media. It's not on the internet. It's not searchable. Like, it's a place that you can come and share your story. And for those who are your brothers and sisters taking the journey this year, you can be encouraged. And you can also be an encourager and prayer warrior. Pray for each other. It is a place that is just here around the global campfire. But in the community section are also links to the different social media channels that we participate in. And if you are there in those spaces, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or YouTube or X or wherever you are, you can follow along Daily Audio Bible as we post different encouragements from the journey we are on this year, and stay connected that way as well. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire is meaningful to you, then thank you deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, no matter where you are in the world. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
I'm calling on behalf of Mom of Joshua. She called in July 24th, very burdened for her son who's depressed, and he's lost his job, lost his girlfriend, no insurance for medication. First of all, Mom, I just want to encourage your heart that your son is right where he's supposed to be. This is where God can show himself in a mighty and powerful way. Just release your son into God's hands. Sometimes God has to remove all the support and all the substitutes in the lives of our children in order for them to call out to him. And now we want to lift up Joshua. Lord, Brian even read today in Romans 8, that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit helps us know what to pray when we don't know. So I pray your Holy Spirit will intervene right now for Joshua. Lord, you know our hearts. Your Spirit will intercede for us. You know exactly what Joshua needs, and I pray that you would surround him. I pray that you would reveal yourself to him in a mighty, powerful way that he cannot deny. That you would even show up in his dreams or in visions. That you would send people his way to point him to you. We pray for a protective wall around him, that just give your angels charge over him, Lord, to protect him from any harm, and that his mind will be turned towards you. And Lord, I lift up Mom of Joshua. Give her that place of peace as she chooses to trust you in the dark. That is faith. And when we have faith to trust you in the unknown, it pleases you so much. You are at work in Joshua's life. You're at work in Mom's life, Lord.
Hi, my name is P, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania. I have been with DAB for almost 10 years now. When troubles of life have plagued me over the years, I would tell myself to call in for prayer, but each time I would hear someone else's prayer request, and that was far more greater than mine, and so I prayed for them. But now I find myself in dire straits, and I truly need prayer. My daughter Tiana is 28 years old, and she is pregnant with her fourth child. We learned today that her placenta has attached itself to the scar tissue from her previous C-section. And if her placenta does not stretch out further, she will be in danger of hemorrhaging during delivery. I am asking my beloved DAB family if they would please call on the name of our God and rally around me and my family and pray that in the next 4 weeks, her placenta will stretch and that this will no longer be an issue. I pray that she, her husband, and their children will be in perfect peace to enjoy this new blessing to our family. I pray you will do this for my daughter. This is my baby, and I need her to be here with me, and she needs to be here with her babies. So I'm asking you, please, pray for me. Amen, and thank you.
Hello again, my dear, dear Deb family. This is Be Wise Guy in Arizona. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the prayers. Hearing the prayers over the prayer line is just a miracle. I tell you, it's so uplifting. Junk to treasure, your prayer that day was absolutely heavenly. Remember to pray for the guys and the gals that are still behind bars, that are still behind those fences and in that life. Pray for them. I came out of it. I'm very blessed. And I hope that others that follow in those footsteps are also blessed when they walk out those gates. So, Dab family, I ask you to pray for our men and women that are incarcerated, that they too will walk with Jesus. Thank you, Dab family. You mean the world to me. Signing out, Be Wise in Arizona.
Hi, DAB family. This is Tina from Cali. Thank you, Brian, and Family Plus crew members behind the scene for daily feeding us with the Word of God. May the Almighty God bless you richly. Right now, I'd like to lift up a prayer request that was aired on July 23rd. Father in heaven, I lift up Michael and Deborah, who are missionaries in France, and their baby Peter's heart is having a hard time developing correctly. Lord, touch this precious gift's heart right now and bring healing and restoration in the baby's heart. Lord, I also want to pray for Deborah and Michael to fix their eyes on you, Lord, to trust in you with all their heart for a supernatural miracle. Lord Jesus, I would also like to bring my grandniece, who was born 1 week ago. She's had stomach complications. And she had an emergency surgery done yesterday in Uganda. Right now, she's in the ICU recovering. Father, I thank you for successful surgery. Thank you for guiding the doctors and the nurses. Father, I pray for mercy. Mercy over this gift that you've given us. I pray, Abba, Father, that may you touch her, Lord, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. May you restore her body and bring her back to life. Father, I also pray for all other parents whose children are sick in the ICU. I decree and declare Isaiah 53:4-5, for you were wounded for our transgression. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon us, and by your stripes we are healed. Thank you, Jesus, for carrying away every sickness, every disease on Calvary. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.